Yeah, yeah. I just skip because of time. So
what are we going to actually do?
verse, chorus, first chorus, bridge, chorus. Do you all feel comfortable with that? I know it's a little last minute.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, we need to make sure that we... Actually, do you mind taking a copy of Holy is the Lord?
Yeah.
Back and I'm going to double check the lyrics. Thank you.
Good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to have you with us this morning. And as Easter people, we remember that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. It is a beautiful blessing to have each and every one of you with us this morning. You are invited to use our welcome pads found in the center portions of your aisles in order to better get acquainted with the people that are sitting close to you. I invite you to pay attention to today's announcements. After worship today, we'll have our fellowship time and our youth group is meeting. That is not listed, but we are meeting with the youth today. Looking towards later in the week, on Wednesday, there is our prayer breakfast at 7:30, and the Rhode Island Civic Chorale meets for rehearsal in the evening. Chancel Choir is meeting this Friday for a normal meeting, and this Saturday is the Saturday in which we once a month volunteer at Camp Street. There is a sign-up list in our Hope Room behind you. You are invited and welcome to join. It is a great opportunity to connect and care for our community. Looking further ahead, there is a worship committee meeting on next Thursday. Actually, this Thursday upcoming is a personnel committee meeting at 7 p.m. And on April 21st, there is a meeting of the men's group with information listed in the bulletin. Further ahead, we want to make sure anyone who's interested in going is able to go to the fundraiser that supports the Presbyterian Immigration Ministry. It's a Brazilian barbecue dinner, all-you-can-eat feast, and you are very welcome to find out more details. It is located in the Hope Room as well. We also were given word that there is a poverty conference coming shortly. I will place the flyer back after we make this announcement today, but on May 11th, a Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., at Rhode Island College, there's an invitation from the Rhode Island Interfaith Coalition for Fighting of Poverty and a conversation with keynote speaker being Jonah Presser, Rabbi Jonah Presser. And more information, feel free to gather at the in the Hope Room. A gospel choir, we've been invited to attend at Oney Street, our neighbor church, Oney Street Baptist Church, is having a gospel choir this Saturday. We are invited. Lastly, I wanted to lift up on list of my announcements, our mission trip. It's an international, it's not this time. One day, God willing, it will be, but it's intergenerational. So the wide range of the church is invited. The dates for it is August 15th through 19th, and this year we'll be going to Brooklyn, New York. We'll be looking at the conversation around reconciliation and restoration. So who are the members in small ways and large ways of that community who are working towards that, and what are the things that we can learn as we come back to our local community? Are there any additional announcements or questions? I believe it is at 2, but it's posted in the Hope Room. Any other announcements? We give thanks for, I got an update last evening, Pastor Chris's trip is going well, that she's having for the Rhode Island State Council of Churches Civil Rights Tour. So we give praise for that as well. Let us turn our attention to our worship. As we say together our responsive call to worship. Because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, with worshipful hearts we will feed his lambs. Because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, with worshipful actions we will tend his sheep. Join now the worship band as they sing, actually two songs, is that correct? Two opening hymns this morning, and the words will be projected.
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing. Keep you on your toes this morning with two songs. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.
We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me.
Great is your love.
Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember. people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
Seated. Remembering indeed that God's grace is enough for us. We come in the midst of our humanity. We come in the midst of our brokenness. We come bearing our true selves, our vulnerabilities, our inadequacies, before the one who sees us, knows us, and loves us. And trusting in that God, we can confess, name our places of brokenness, trusting that we will be forgiven. So let us now confess our sins together, first silently, and then together with the prayer listed in our bulletin. Let us pray. And together we say, God of everlasting life, we confess that we continue to will the ways of death. We fail to love and feed the sheep that you have given us to tend. We stand by while some are threatened and even participate in persecution. Forgive us, God of grace. Change the path we are on. Show us the light of your way and send us forth to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us sing together our song of response and appreciation for this great good news. Christ the Lord is risen today, verse 2. have come to a time in our service in which we can indeed ascribe to the Lord and have praises lifted up to our God. Is there someone who's willing to run the microphone for today?
Thanks, Ben.
Are there any prayer concerns this day in the church?
I have some joys and some prayer requests. I transferred in my job, so praise to that. It's been 8 years in the same position, and I'm finally doing something a little bit different under a new supervisor who's very kind and warm, and it's a nice change. Just prayers that that goes well. I'm applying to school as well, so that's all done. So hopefully everything goes well and I get accepted into one program. And then prayers for my grandfather. He was back in the hospital again, but is home now. He's not doing terribly well, so we can use all the prayers we can get. Thanks.
Prayers for my father, Bill, who was hospitalized this week with cellulitis once again in his leg last summer. I think this is the third time this year. So I hope he goes home tomorrow. They're saying that it's not the resistant infection that it was the last time. So hopefully he'll be treated and have a speedy recovery. I'd also like prayers for my friend Sam, who we prayed for this past year, who was in remission for a bit, but his cancer has returned. He has, I think, an upcoming bone marrow transplant, so he just needs all of our prayers. And continued prayers for my supervisor, Donna, as she wraps up her, she's 5.5 weeks, she has to do her radiation therapy for her Cushing's disease, and she has about, I think, 2 weeks left. So just prayers for her.
I'd like prayers for my nephew, Cliff. He lives in Kansas City, Missouri. Cliff is battling alcoholism, and my PPC prayer warriors this week helped him get through Tuesday night.
Today's my dad's birthday. He's turning 40.
Ooh! Happy birthday, Matt.
My mom's in Boston and she's coming home today. Hopefully she comes home safely.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask for prayers for Ellen's aunt, is Sister Millie Marengo. She's in her 80s. She fell and broke her shoulder and has some internal bleeding.
What was her aunt's name again?
Sister Millie.
Sister Millie.
Asher turned 5 on Friday.
Woo! Happy birthday, Asher.
Nancy and I want to thank you again for your financial support given to the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Cuba. And we thank you for your prayers and kind thoughts while we were gone. Apparently they worked because we're back.
Amen.
I have a joy. Last week I wasn't feeling better, but now I'm well.
Amen.
Two things, both joys. Julie Baldwin, we have prayed with her for her brother Jim, who has had cancer. We've prayed for a long time. He is now cancer-free, not in remission, but cancer-free.
Amen.
Good for Jim. Also, a joy for, I have a new physician, and the prescription is that I need, in addition to the medication, I need to have a large bowl of ice cream with chocolate and peanuts every day.
It's a great doctor. Keep the stress down. I like it. Oh, over here.
I have a joy, and I'd like to thank you all. Dan and Chris achieved their Eagle Scout Award this past weekend.
Amen.
You've all been very instrumental in helping them get along this process, and I thank you. I look forward to your prayers to get Michael along that process, too. Thank you.
Amen.
I'd like to have prayers for my niece, Amy, to find a job. She's looking for a job. She's in her 50s. But just prayers for her. Amy.
For she's applying for a job or she has a new job? I missed that.
No, she's looking for
a job. Looking for a job, absolutely.
Amy.
Looks like it might be everyone. Thank you so much, Ben. I know she's here, and I'm surprised. Are we not going to mention Eden's birthday coming up this week? Is that okay to celebrate it in advance? Eden, yay. Which birthday is it? Are you too shy to mention? Wow, Eden's 14th birthday is this Wednesday. So we lift that up in joy as well. Happy birthday, and hopefully I didn't embarrass you. Let us pray. I invite you to respond to God of new life with the phrase, "Hear our prayer." Risen Savior Jesus Christ, as you appeared by the sea and surprised your disciples, we thank you that you continue to surprise us today. You are full of grace and you are full of mercies. And we are so grateful that indeed you have risen. Rejoicing in God's promise of a new creation, let us pray to the maker of heaven and earth, saying, God of new life, hear our prayers. This day we pray for the church. Give us glad hearts and full voices to sing glory and honor and blessing to you with all the saints around your throne. God of new life, hear our prayer. This day we pray for the world. Protect those who are victims of violence, threats, and persecution everywhere. Convert oppressors into ways of being that are peaceful and full of love. God of new life, hear our prayers. We pray for this community. Help us to feed, to tend, and to care for those you have entrusted us. Let our love show your love. God of new life, hear our prayers. We pray for our loved ones. We give thanks for the new ways in which you are working, O Lord. And we stand with those who are grieving, sad, alone, or feeling emptiness. God, we pray for Ellen's aunt, Sister Millie. We pray for Sherry's grandfather. We pray for Bill and Sam and Donna and Cliff. We ask for your traveling mercies for Susan. God, be with Amy in this job search process with Sherry as she looks at new opportunities both in work and in her education. God, who turns our mourning into dancing, we give joy and thanks for the ways in which you are showing your signs of new life. For Glenn and Nancy's safe return. For the birthdays of Eden and Asher and Matt. For the accomplishments of Dan and Chris and those of Michael. For new doctors who give us joyous responses of ways of being. For the hope and joy that lies in you. Remember all who suffer or grieve, Lord, and turn their mourning into dancing and their sorrow into joy. God of new life, hear our prayer. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we shall bear and share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can our young worshipers come forward, please? I'm going to pretend to do something, and you're going to guess what it might be. Can we do that?
Like charades?
Yeah, it's like charades. Ready?
Fishing.
Yeah, fishing. Anybody else want to join me fishing? Come on, get your bait in. Get your pretend bait. Come on. Got it? Put your worm or your shrimp. What are we using? Shrimp or worm today?
Crab.
We're gonna use crabs and crab, squid, and so whatever. Which one you want to put on? Grab it. Is it wiggly? Is it a little wiggly? Yeah. Not. Yeah. It's dead. Okay. So yours is easy to get on. Everybody else, put your shrimp or your crab or your squid on the end of it. All right. And have a seat, we're fishing. We're all on a boat together. Everybody got their fishing rod ready? And we're gonna cast it back, pull it back, and throw. Nice. I've got no bites.
I didn't get any either.
I didn't get anything. I'm still waiting. We're gonna wait. Shh, 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 shh. Come on. We're waiting. Who likes waiting? Raise your hand if you like waiting. I don't believe you. All right, we're still waiting. Shh, shh, shh. It's gonna be quiet. Shh, shh. We're listening to the waves. I know, it's a really quiet day on the water. We're fishing. And we're waiting. And we're waiting. Imagine that we're just like waiting. Imagine it's all night long. Yeah, what are you thinking? Well, you go ahead and try. You found. See, Lucy's the lucky one because everybody else is just waiting. We have no fish, and we wait. And guess what happens as we're waiting? Some guy's over there, and he's yelling at us. He goes, "Hey! side. So what should we do? Should we try? Should we listen to this weird person who's come out of nowhere and yelling at us to fish on the other side? Would you listen? No, not really. Well, let's pretend that we do. So we fished on the other side. So wherever you're fishing, fish the opposite way. So now I'm going to fish over here. Whew. And all of a sudden it's getting like kind of heavy. Are you feeling the tug at the end of yours? Your line broke. You better cast another one. Hurry up. And all of a sudden we're catching something.
I got a squid.
How would you feel? You got a squid. High five. How would you feel if you were fishing all night long and all of a sudden somebody shows up and tells you, fish on the other side, and all of a sudden you start catching fish? Would that be awesome or what? That would be awesome. Well, that's exactly what happened to the disciples. And some of you, I think, had lessons early, so you know this one. They were out fishing, but instead of using fishing rods, what do you think they used to catch fish? They used nets. So anybody ever fished with a net before? It's really heavy. Can you stand up? Stand up. No, you're not going to lift me. No worries. Let's just pretend like we're lifting up a really heavy net because it's full of salt water and it's heavy and you have to kind of like turn your body with every bit of force and then you toss it out. And they did that all night long. So how do you think they felt? If you had done that all night long. Sore, really sore, and maybe really tired. And how would your belly feel if you had done that all night long?
Hungry.
I would feel hungry, yes, sweetie. You'd be proud that you were able to survive. High five. That's what happened. So they did that all night long. So they were starving, and then that guy shows up, which was Jesus, and he says, fish on the other side, and he catches so much fish that they could barely pull it in. One of the scriptures says it was 157 fish. That's a lot of fish. And then he pulled it up. He said, bring that guy on the side, Jesus. He said, bring your fish. So let's all pretend like we're pulling our fish. Pull it. Bring it all over to the communion table. Let's pull it here. Whoa. You okay, Asher? Somebody would have fallen. There was this one guy, Simon Peter. He was so like disheveled. He actually had to put his clothes on because he had fallen asleep. I don't know why his clothes were off, but they were. Anyway, so he puts his clothes on really quick. He's like, that's Jesus over there. And he prepares for them this wonderful meal. So can we pretend like there's a meal here? What do you think he prepared for them?
Fish.
Good guess. It was fish and there was another food. Fish and bread. So let's pretend like we're eating our fish and bread. You know what I love about this story? Is if those fisher people had not taken a chance, if those disciples hadn't taken a chance and listened to Jesus, they would have missed out on something pretty awesome, right? They were hungry, they would have still been hungry, but instead they followed what Jesus suggested and they were blessed. And the lesson for us today is when we follow what Jesus suggests, we too get blessings, and that's pretty awesome, right? Amen?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can come to this table and you still feed us and you still show us the way. In Jesus' name, amen. High five, great job. Have fun downstairs. No high five. Did I get left hanging? That's all right. Thanks, buddy. Good to see you.
Lord God, open our minds and hearts to hear the truth in your word and apply its inspiration to our lives today. The Old Testament lesson is found in your Pew Bibles, page 478, and the large print Bibles on page 621. This is a reading from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The New Testament lesson is on page 109 in your pew Bible and in the large print on page 141. This is a reading from John 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Good morning, Easter people. Today we continue in our post-resurrection narrative as is offered by the gospel writer of John. Yes, we are still claiming our identity as Easter people because, as we've talked about, Easter is not a day, it is a season. It is a lifestyle. Amen? On Easter morning 2 weeks ago, however, is when we started this journey. We looked at the unique and human responses and roles of the disciples, including Joseph of Arimathea, who was called the secret disciple, Nicodemus, who had come by night to learn and question, both of whom were together the ones who had the sacred task of carrying the body of Christ. We also talked about the roles and the actions of Simon Peter and the beloved disciple, those who outran each other in that early Easter trot, and Mary, who at first thinks Jesus is a gardener, but in the end was the first preacher to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and that indeed I have seen the Lord. We reflected on their humanity being very important in this divine calling for which they were asked to participate. And last week we picked up on that same gospel account on that very same day, indeed, with the disciples hunkered down, scared for fear, and then surprised when Jesus appears in the midst of them and they collectively proclaim, "We have seen the Lord." Everyone, well, everyone except for Thomas, the one who will forever have the moniker of Doubting Thomas, because he was not there, poor guy, with his bad timing. And he would forever, or at least initially, declare, "I will not believe it unless I not only see, but put my hand into the wound of Jesus' hands, until I put my hand into the side of Jesus' body." And then a week later, by grace alone, Jesus reappears through the locked doors, it says in the scripture, and allows Thomas to do just that, that very thing that would help him to believe. He allowed Thomas to place his hand within the wounds of his hands and within the wound of his side. And again, a disciple is able to proclaim, "I have seen the Lord." And today, we pick up at the third post-resurrection sighting of Jesus. And one of the gifts of this pericope of Scripture, this portion of Scripture, is that we have a chance to reflect on the emotional and physical and spiritual journey that each of the disciples have been on from Holy Week and even before. I'd like to suggest that today's Scripture is the penultimate passage in John's Gospel, is the mirroring bookend, both literally and figuratively, for the call stories of each of these disciples. It is a journey that we're allowed to see and hear, and it's also a journey that allows us to connect on what it means to first encounter Christ and to journey the journey as a disciple. We see them struggle with their places of emptiness, and there is a movement to an overflowing of love. This reflects our own emotional, physical, and spiritual journeys as disciples of Jesus. Here's what I mean. Andrew and Simon Peter, in the very first chapter of John, are told by John the Baptizer or John the Baptist that Jesus, that guy, is the Lamb of God. And immediately, they follow him. They respond without hesitation to an invitation to come and see. Likewise, Philip and Nathanael respond without hesitation and with haste, to the invitation in John chapter 1, verse 43. It says, "Jesus found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' And Philip not only goes, but he grabs his brother and says, 'Come with me, this is happening.'" The ability to drop everything and follow Jesus is beautiful, amen? It is an astounding reflection of faith. And on a very human level, it reflects that none of these people were so attached to what they were doing that they weren't willing to step into this new life with Christ. The disciples in other gospels are described as abandoning their nets in the midst midst of their fishing, in the midst of their very identities. They were fishermen. That was who they were. The ability to turn away from everything one knows reflects a deep divine and human spiritual longing to be a part of this bigger story of where God is moving in the world. We all know that longing, amen? My guess is that most of us are in this place right now because of that longing. I want to be a part of how God is moving in the world. It's a longing, it's an emptiness that nothing else can fill, although in our humanity we try. Nothing more or nothing less will do when we acknowledge the very nature of what I call the God space within us. This ethos of emptiness has a way of transforming our lives. When we feel distance from God in our lives, we experience the pain of that emptiness. Amen? The only thing more distressing, I believe, though, than that emptiness is having that emptiness filled and then having it return again. You know what I mean? When you feel close to God, then all of a sudden there's silence or there's quietness and it's eerie and it feels lonely. In our passages of scripture recently, I sense this is exactly the feeling the disciples have been struggling with. Jesus was with them on the daily, every single day. Wake up with Jesus, go to bed with Jesus, wake up with Jesus, go to bed with Jesus. And then there was the crucifixion. And there was silence. They thought he was gone. They had watched his lifeless body hang limply on a tree. The emptiness was real. Then Mary comes with this wild proclamation, I have seen the Lord. And then the silence comes again. And the emptiness returns. And then Jesus appears in the room with everyone there. And then he's gone again. And the silence reappears. That emptiness creeps in like the ache known only by the brokenhearted. Amen. And then a week later, Jesus shows back up for Thomas. And then he's gone again. The emptiness returns, and they wonder, will it be another week? Will it be a year? Will we ever see him again? And so they return to the place where they first encountered the one who fills their heart and lives with purpose, the shoreline. John writes, gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, the one called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the other two disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going to go fishing. Can you imagine? Like, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to go fishing. And they turn to him and say, we'll go with you. That gives us something to do, keeps our hands and minds busy. And they went out into the boat, and all night long they fished, and they caught nothing. Think about that. Prior to this Jesus fellow arriving, that was your thing. And now all night long they fished, and they got nothing. The nets were empty, and I postulate that their sense of direction was empty as well. That there was such a mist and feeling of disorientation and emptiness and grief that I can do nothing but weep with them in my heart. It's hard to go from something to nothing to something to nothing to something to nothing. This is a part, however, I believe, of every disciple's journey if we're honest enough about it. We know that silence, amen? We may not like to talk about it, but no matter how faithful we are, we know what it's like to have that radio silence where the voice of Christ and the closeness that you know is no longer there in the same way, where it seems like communication has broken down And those responses to emptiness are likely to creep in. And unless we turn to what grounds us spiritually, whether it's prayer or spiritual practices, unless we find some way of connecting back, reaching out, we are likely to respond in very human ways of either over-functioning or under-functioning. In under-functioning, and I think we get a great example with the disciples here, we resign to despair in the belief that this is the end. Nothing ever is going to change. All is lost. In under-functioning, we do like the disciples did, and we hunker down. We know that feeling, amen? And then there's the other side of the very human way of responding, which is over-functioning, and I know we have those in our midst, amen? Mm-hmm. Where when we are faced with the anxieties, with the emptiness, we will just try harder. We just gotta, if I just fix this thing, if I just do this one thing, I know it'll be better. I know it'll get better. The answer for us in those moments is that if I just think harder, if I just work harder, if I just do more, that somehow those questions and that emptiness in our hearts and our minds will be filled. But in reality, we know that it's not true. Amen. I sense a little bit of that in Peter's response. If we just go back to what we did before, right? Right? We got to do something. We can't just sit here. We can't just sit here. As people of faith, we do have another option. We can pray. We can have hope. And the one who provides it all has gotten us to that moment. And we can do what seems supernatural. We can praise God in the middle of our situations. Amen? Amen? We can pray. We can ask for hope. We can give praise as we sit in this place of openness for clarity and direction from God. Regardless of how empty we are, no matter of how broken our actions are or the actions of others may be, we have the ability to have hope and to pray and to praise God. The psalmist says so. Sing praises, O God, O you faithful ones. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God's holy name. And this is the part that I love because it named for the psalmist, I recognize I've messed up. So maybe it is partly on me, maybe it's not, but it says, for God's anger is for a moment. So in worst case scenario, if I have done something wrong, God's favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger in the night, but joy comes into the morning. Sometimes that's all that saves me, church, is knowing that weeping may linger through the night, but joy has been promised to come in the morning. This means that when we are experiencing that very real emptiness inside, we don't have to numb it. We don't have to run away from it. We don't have to overfunction through it or underfunction through it. We can actually feel it and give praise in the midst of our living. Amen? I wrestled with this text a bit. In preparation, I had a sense that maybe Peter was overfunctioning, but then I had a more generous interpretation. Maybe Peter's action was one of a spirituality that required movement. And maybe going back to where they first met Jesus was a sign of prayer in and of itself. Being where you know you have connected with God is a beautiful thing. I think that's the only reason why we gather in this place week after week. Amen? We know there is a highly likely probability that we will experience God's presence in this place. Being with others, being at the sea, being in that unique place of fishing with others where you're actually kind of doing it by yourself, but you're still doing it in community, it's beautiful. Going back to the places that give you joy and purpose is beautiful. So maybe for them, this was a sign of prayer, a willingness to continue to engage life in the midst of the emptiness, in the midst of the heavy hole, in the midst of true grief, as a spiritual sign of being with each other and with God. We see the actions and the ability of people to be in the midst of their grieving, yet to care and be loving, and it always struck me as beautiful. Amen. We know those people who can be going through the most crazy situations, and there's a level of peace and joy and love, even when they're truly feeling hurt or disorientation or confusion. I was reading the book Tuesdays with Morris. How many people have read that book before, Tuesday with Morris? And there's this quote from Murray, and I think that he had that spirit. Now, those who may not know about that book, it is the story of Mitch Albom, who was a student of Morris, and Morris is at the end of his life. They reconnect at the very end of his life, and every Tuesday, he gathers, and Morris offers these brilliant pieces of wisdom of how he is traveling this journey at the end of his life. So I'd like to lift a quote from what Morris offers. He says, "So many people walk around with a meaningless life. They seem half asleep, even when they're busy doing things they think are important. This is because they're chasing the wrong things. The way you get to your meaning in your life is to devote yourselves to loving others. Devote yourself to your community around you, and to devote yourself to creating something that gives you purpose and meaning. Purpose and meaning are the longings in the midst of our grief. And despite that long night of disappointment and those empty nets and those empty hearts and those empty bellies, all was not lost. Because as John tells them and tells us, after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples at first didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, you have no fish, have you?' Well, first of all, I've been fishing all last long. Last thing I want is some guy on the corner saying, 'You didn't catch anything, did you?' But yet, they answer him. Not with insecurity, not with defensiveness, but with an honesty of no. He said to them, 'Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' And they did, and there were so many that they could not carry it. Praise be to God, O you his faithful, and give thanks to his holy name. For weeping may linger in the night, but joy comes in the morning." This is the kind of joy that we have access to in relationship to Jesus. The kind of joy that is rooted in the truth that weeping, that feeling of loss, is not a sign of abandonment. Weeping is not a sign of abandonment. Weeping is not a sign of abandonment. We have access to a God who sees us and invites us to see God's very self in the midst of our heartache. Honestly, I don't know if you actually have lived until you've had the moment in your spiritual life where you are both joy-filled and heartbroken. Anybody know that moment? Where you have utter tears may be running down your face, but you know for certain, without a doubt, that in the middle of that very moment, you are still God's beloved. You are still seen. You are still loved, and there ain't nothing that can change that. It may seem counterintuitive, because it is, but that's what's possible through the God that we serve. Amen? The God who has promised in the midst of the stormy waves and on the dry land, the one who has promised to be with us in the midst of joy and tragedy. If you see, like Thomas, the wounds of Jesus Christ as your wounds of suffering as well, it changes things. If you see in Christ the ability to praise and have faith in God when things are seeming most out of order, it changes how you see the world. This is what it means to be filled. This is what it means to be filled to the brim when the whole world can only see what you don't have. And you know for certain I am good in the one who has created me. Amen. This is what it means to have joy in the midst of sorrow. It is recognizing Jesus does not abandon us, but actually draws closest to us in our suffering. And don't get it twisted, this is not at all a letting go of the injustice and the suffering that is in this world. But it is saying that in those moments of suffering and injustice, Christ is there, offering deep and abiding divine grace and reconciling love, and also calling us to do the same. This is where we sense that we are being seen, recognized by the Lord in the midst of our vulnerabilities, in the midst of our nakedness like Peter, in the midst of our foibles, in the midst of our beauty, that we are seen and Jesus is inviting us to see him as well. He's here. The disciple who loved the Lord said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard this. He went to put on some clothes because apparently he was naked. He jumped into the water. I think about Simon Peter in that passage, and he reminds me so much of Adam and Eve at creation. Amen. Remember the baggage that Peter is carrying with him on that day. This is the Simon Peter that had denied Jesus in the courtyard. But the other disciples, they came to the boat, dragging their net full of fish. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast. Come and be nourished." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who is it?" because they knew who it was. And Jesus came and gave them bread, and he gave them fish. Jesus filled them with his presence when they were starving for direction. Jesus filled them with food when their bellies needed it. Jesus filled them with compassion when they were longing for hope, answering the prayer that he taught them to say, saying, "Give them their daily bread." Jesus was doing it while saying it and being it. He responded to their famished emotions, their famished bodies, and their famished spirits. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, because weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise be to God for the good shepherd who is able to fill us with compassion and beauty when we hunger the most as a society, as a community, and as a nation. Peter was extended in the midst of this an invitation to overflowing generosity despite himself. Peter, the one who had turned his back on Jesus after vowing that he would never, ever do such a thing. Peter, Simon Peter, who denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Well, he is offered this gracious, beautiful opportunity of reconciliation with a bookend mirror image of an opportunity to face Jesus with love and declare, "I love you," not once, not twice, but three times. When breakfast was finished, it says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to Simon Peter a third time, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt that he'd been asked the third time. "Lord," he says, "you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Jesus goes on to foreshadow a life of service and sacrifice that Peter would have to have. And in the end, he completes that cycle of invitation that started at the beginning of their call story, right back where it ends, with a simple directive: follow me. Follow me. Brothers and sisters, we know our own emptiness, whether or not we're willing to engage it on this day. We know what it means to be filled in and filled up with the light of Christ in spite of ourselves. We know our inadequacies. And by grace, we know what it means to be overflowed with that desire to share generously the gifts that God has given us. That is what it means to be a disciple. That is what it means to be an Easter person. That is what it means to be beloved. As Easter people, may we forever be feeders of God's sheep and allow ourselves to forever follow into the places of service and sacrifice for which Jesus is calling us. And all of Christ's disciples said, amen.
Join with me as we affirm our faith together now using the prayer printed in the bulletin. In life and death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. Giving thanks to God for all that he has given us, it's now time to receive the tithes and offerings.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
God, everything we have comes from you. Please accept these offerings and bless them as a token of our gratitude, so that through them we can share your love and joy with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our rest.